Welcome to Crazy Shit in Real Estate, a weekly podcast where I walk you through some of the wildest, most unbelievable stories you'll hear from the world of real estate. If you like real estate and you love crazy, this is the podcast for you. And welcome back to the podcast. I'm Lee Brown, and you're listening to Crazy Shit in Real Estate. And I know that you tuned back into this episode today because you know that this is part two with the one and only Cher Powers from Nashville, Tennessee. Cher, thank you for coming back on the podcast a second time.
My pleasure. The first time was fabulous.
And you never forget your first time, right?
Oh, that's for sure.
That's what Arden says. Okay, so that's her husband, people. Don't be thinking anything else. All right. Cher, would you please tell our listeners, in case they missed episode one, who you are, where you're located, what you do related to real estate, so they'll have a little bit of information about you.
Sure. I'm from Nashville, Tennessee, and I have a small boutique agency called Urbane Residential Specialists, and I work with investors, coaching them to buy, fix up, renovate, and resell, or buy and hold for building retirement wealth. And then I also work with first-time home buyers.
Okay, so you've got a broad experience in real estate with multiple niches. Now, the first time we spoke, we leaned into your extensive background in dealing with investors and investment properties, doing renovations, rehabs, resales, meeting too many cockroaches at one time. But there's a whole different side to your business that grew out of your move from strictly investing with your partner and by yourself to becoming a full service realtor serving actual buyers and sellers. So talk to us a little bit about what drove your heart into that piece, because too often when we think about real estate as a career, we talk about the opportunity it provides and less about how it can actually be a calling in and of itself.
When I first started investing, I ended up in a partnership where we were doing 8 renovations a month, and those were renovations for resale, typically in the first-time homebuyer market. And when I was going to those closings representing our partnership, we would see so many of these first-time buyers just really bawling their eyes out, very unhappy with the circumstances. Either the interest rate was changed, the amount they needed to bring down or bring to closing, something was missing from the home that they expected to be there and it wasn't in the contract. And I just listened to that. And over time, I started realizing it really bothered me that they were working with entry-level realtors and they were the most vulnerable buyers out there. And I wanted to set them up for success. I felt they needed expertise. And yes, there's, you know, certainly working in the luxury market is a completely different world and different clientele. But my heart was really drawn to first-time buyers and helping them have a great first experience, setting them up for success, and not regretting that they purchased their home.
So I have to tell y'all, dear listeners, what Cher is saying is not a detrimental thing about new realtors, because we do love new people to the business. However, if you are buying or selling real estate, it's a fair question to ask how much experience your realtor has. And if they don't have a ton, your next question is really simple. It's, do you have a mentor or a broker who can guide you through the process with me? Because it's entirely possible to have a wonderful experience with a new realtor, but they need to have somebody with the depth of experience behind them to help so that you don't run into these tear-filled conversations that Cher was experiencing on the other side of the table.
Right. And I agree, Lee. I have worked with brand new realtors on the other side of a deal and have been thoroughly impressed with them. They have great mentors, lots of education. They're focused on doing a great job and they've got the support they need. And so certainly I'm glad you clarified, because there is no criticism in me toward new realtors at all. I think there's room for all of us.
Because somebody gave us a shot at the beginning of our careers.
Absolutely.
Okay, so working with first-time buyers can always be wildly entertaining, because often they're in a price range that is where we get to do that kind of education that I like to refer to as explaining them out of champagne taste on a beer budget, because that stupid television program out there has got them all convinced that they're going to get the Taj Mahal. And that's not always what we see in helping somebody maximize their budget. So I'd love to know what you've seen in your service era of working with first-time people.
As far as showing property, my probably favorite experience, which was just really creepy, but it's entertaining too. I took a couple who were buying their first home, and we were looking at properties in an entry-level range, but still that could handle their three children and pets and, you know, a family. And we went to this one particular house and looked great. It was a brick ranch with a basement. And that was one thing that was very important to them. So as we're going through this house, it was just the couple. They did not bring their children, thankfully. We found 50 weapons, guns.
50?
50.
That's a lot.
We found
the closets were unlocked and there were things clamped to doors. There were grenades, which I don't know if they were live or not. There were all kinds of knives and things. I don't even know what to call them, different kinds of weapons. And they were, some of them were out on, you know, visible. Others were in closets that you open and it's like a vault of guns. And it was kind of uncomfortable that they were all accessible. And so I'm, you know, walking around with my clients and they're looking around going, man, who lives here? So they were talking about the guns and, you know, just normal chit chat. And this was before everybody, hopefully our listeners know that you can be recorded in houses and more sellers are doing that where they're either keeping you on video or listening into a baby monitor or something. So at the time, this was, you know, not on our wavelength and we're walking around and they're talking freely. I think we're alone in the house. We go downstairs to the basement and there's more of the same and there's some military stuff and some political things and just more discomfort. And one of my clients made a comment about, I think this person is scary. I don't think I want to do business with them. And we heard this giggle and the hair on the back of my neck. And I had heard the expression, but I had never experienced it like that. Just, I'm getting goosebumps telling you now. And she looked at me and said, did you hear that? And her husband said, no, I think it was the washer. And then somebody giggled again.
He thought it was the washer. Come on.
He did. I mean, he just, it was a random thing, but that's the conversation.
All right.
Giggle the second time. And then I looked and I'm walking around and I put my finger up to my lips and I started looking and I realized that there was a secret room in this basement that didn't, like, there was space that we couldn't access, and that this creepy guy was watching us and listening to our whole conversation while we were walking through this whole house and our comments on his guns, and we were thoroughly entertaining him. And I looked at her and I pointed kind of where I thought he was, and he giggled again, so then I knew he could see us.
Holy shit.
We booked out of that house. It was the creepiest thing, but we were basically being spied on by this guy who had an arsenal.
And it sounded like Silence of the Lambs kind of thing with the giggling and the watching.
Oh,
and
it was creepy. Oh. It was creepy.
I don't know his story, and we didn't wait to find out. We left the house immediately, and I let his realtor know that something ain't right in Dodge.
Well, that was going to be my next question is, how did the conversation go with his representation? Because one of our jobs as professional realtors is when you stumble into something, we have to tell our colleagues because they don't always know.
When we had the conversation, the realtor was pretty old school and he just said, well, you know, he's an older gentleman, he's retired military, and I feel that he's in his right mind. And I told him what I believed happened. And I told him about the guns being out. And I said, you know, if my couple had brought their children, you know, what if some of those are loaded? What if they grabbed something and took it with them and it ended up, you know, at school or something? I mean, it's totally irresponsible to have a house open with all those things where you could walk out with them, which is maybe why he was hiding so that he could make sure that didn't happen. But I don't know. But I did tell him about the giggling. I felt we were spied on, and he said he would deal with it. So I don't know what occurred after that. But my clients did not make an offer on that house.
And you didn't show it to anybody else either, did you?
Oh, I did not. No.
So here's the thing, people. If you're in a home where you've got guns, that's okay. But if it's on the market, you have to remember that it's the public coming through, and it's the realtor public plus their clients. And as Cher has mentioned, you know, if the kids had been with them, you might not have seen everything that they do, because while the realtor showing a house tries to be with people all the time, if a husband and wife split up in a house, or there's kids on showings, which there's lots of reasons that kids probably shouldn't be on showings. This is a great example.
Mm-hmm.
But we can't always be there. So you got to lock up anything that's related to weaponry. You've got to lock up prescription drugs, put it at the back of the cupboard or the cabinet where it can't be accessed. But the creepiest thing here is not even the weapon situation. It's the fact that he was watching y'all and giggling, which is such an invasion. So
yeah.
If you have cameras in your house, or if you have a safe room in your house, you should tell your realtor so that your realtor can tell the people coming through as a courtesy, because if it's just for safety, it shouldn't bother you at all to tell people.
Right. I agree.
Oh, that's,
yeah.
I mean, I'm a gun person myself, but I only leave one unlocked. I leave one unlocked so I can defend my house. If 50 are unlocked, there's a problem.
Yeah, I agree. And you know, I'm not a psychiatrist or anything like that, but it struck me that I didn't feel safe in the house to begin with. And then when the giggling started, I was like, I don't know what this person's capable of, but I don't want to find out.
But I do think your client needed to do more laundry, because he should not have equated giggling with the washing machine, because that tickled me so much.
Oh, it was so random. It was just, you know, it's just one of those things. It was pretty entertaining after the fact. And again, they've stayed friends. So we are like, you remember the giggler? Yeah, I do.
Well, tell him he is on laundry duty for at least the next 6 months until he understands right. that giggling does not sound like a washing machine. Okay, so we have just another couple of minutes left in this episode. You have anything else you think our listeners would be highly amazed by?
Well, two real quick stories. One is that early on in my career of representing buyers, I ended up my commission, the entire thing and then some, bought a hardwood floor in a living room because the seller had asked if they could move their stuff out after closing because they needed the money to get the truck. So we do our final walkthrough. Everything looks fine. They come, move their stuff out after closing, and they left this beautiful rug in the living room. And I walk back in with my clients, and I'm so happy, and I have their little gift basket and their bottle of wine. And we walk in, and they said, oh, look, they left us a rug, and it's beautiful. And I looked, and I went, I just had the worst feeling, like my, you know, my heart fell into my stomach. And I thought, this probably isn't good. And I walked over, and I pulled the rug back, and there was plywood all the way. The entire floor had been cut out except for the edges around the living room. So it looked like hardwood, and there was hardwood down the hall and in all the bedrooms. Everything was hardwood and in good condition, but something happened in the living room and they had cut it out and it was plywood. It wasn't even, you know, a good flooring product, and they had covered it up and had all the furniture. And of course, my first-time buyers had enough money to put their down payment and move their stuff and buy some blinds, but they couldn't replace the floor. And I looked at them and I went, we'll get this handled. And I had somebody come in who, you know, obviously I work with a lot of investor renovation contractors. And so I got a good deal on it, which is why it wasn't devastating to me. But it was a large living room, you know, dining room type combo ranch style home, and I bought the hardwood floor for them. So that's one story about, I will never encourage my clients to let a seller stay past closing unless we hold money in escrow or they keep enough money aside so that if something were to go wrong, there would be some recourse. In this case, there was none.
It's a common conversation we have because it's easy to understand why sellers don't want to leave until it's done. They want to know the money's in the bank. And I get that. But as a buyer, you're completely inheriting things things that you don't really know if you allow somebody to stay. And too often, people get away with what they can get away with, like this.
Right, you don't
expect the floor to be gone. You expect a stain on the carpet or a bump in the sheetrock, but the floor is expected to be there.
Yeah, that was probably one of my most expensive lessons. And another one that's kind of entertaining is my clients. This was another first-time home buyer. We had already done the final walkthrough. The house was empty. I went to another appointment for whatever reason. So my clients decided to double back and drive by the house on their way to closing. And they call me, and the woman is in tears, and she said, they've taken all the rose bushes. And it wasn't just rose bushes, but it was this beautifully landscaped property. And you know how the long brick ranches go for days, and you've got this huge front bed, and then they also had some, you know, island-style beds that were very beautiful and manicured. Well, the seller, after we did our walkthrough, came back and took every single bush out of the yard, and it looked like landmines had gone off all over the front yard. And we're talking 30 or 40 plants. I mean, it wasn't one or two. And so I'm like, okay, what are we going to do? And I said to my client, I'm not sure they're going to bring them back. Do you want them to buy new plants for you? And of course, she's like, I'm not buying the house if we don't get the plants back. So I called the listing agent, who is like, oh, you've got to be kidding me, and started saying, well, they're not attached to the property. The seller didn't agree to sell them. And I'm like, yeah, plants, landscaping would be part of the property, and they needed to be excluded from the contract if the seller wanted to take them. So what can we do to resolve this? So she calls the seller, and they said, well, these were my grandmother's cuttings, and you know, we inherited the house, and I didn't want to let the plants go, but I was afraid if we took them before you guys came that we wouldn't be able to close. I'm like, okay. So we ended up getting them to buy a gift card to a nursery, a very large gift card, out of their proceeds in order to close. And then I had to get the nursery to try to match as close as possible to the size and look. And so I was involved in landscaping for a week after closing, trying to get that solved.
Well, at least they were willing to make it right, but I'm kind of flabbergasted that it would occur to them to think that plants are not fixtures.
Right, I agree. Well, with the realtor, that was more surprising than the actual sellers, because, you know, sellers don't do this often, and they may not have seen them as fixtures. And I think it's a challenge for every realtor to figure out what their clients are thinking, because sometimes, you know, we assume they know things that they don't.
Does the Tennessee standard contract include a list of items that are deemed to be fixtures? Because I know the North Carolina contract does, and they've updated it to include outdoor plants and
shrubs. Yes, so ours is updated very consistently. We have a great forms committee at the state level, and they work very hard. And it seems like every time there's something new added, particularly like right now with all of the, you know, flat mount, wall mount TVs, are the brackets considered a fixture? Is the TV a fixture because it's mounted to the wall? Those kinds of things. We've had to have those conversations and come to a, here's what's included. If you don't want it to be included, it has to be written in writing excluded.
And this is where it's critical to make sure you're using a realtor who's not only a good active licensee, but that they've read the standard paperwork and can properly explain it. I know that I have to go through multiple conversations with my seller clients so that they understand at the very beginning of the process, you don't get to take the TV down off the wall. You don't get to take the curtain rods with you. You don't get to take the plants and shrubs. So you've got to make sure that you're not only the realtor who knows your contract, and some of y'all listening, you've probably sold a bunch of houses that haven't read your contract recently. Take an hour out of your life and sit down and read the current version and make sure you've seen everything in it so that you can fully educate your clients and avoid minefields in the front yard.
Right, absolutely.
So, Cher, if anybody is looking for an amazing, educated, professional realtor who can get them through a house with no floors and a yard with no shrubs and move very quickly if you run into the giggly man with an arsenal, how can they reach you in Nashville?
Well, I'm at sherpowers.com, S-H-E-R-P-O-W-E-R-S. I'm also on Facebook. My company name is Urbane, U-R-B-A-N-E, and I have a website at urbaneresidentialspecialist.com, or they can find me on my Urbane page on Facebook.
And by the way, Cher, also thank you for your service to realtors. You have done a lot of work in not just educating other realtors on being better professionals, but you serve the association and the efforts to protect property rights for people in Nashville, in the state of Tennessee, and in the United States. And I thank you for spending that time on behalf of all of us.
Thank you, Lee. And right back at you. I know you're doing exactly the same thing, and you're a role model for me to do that.
It's just what we do, baby. It's what we do. I appreciate you and all you listeners. I appreciate y'all too. Mash that subscribe button so you can hear future episodes. Go to the show notes to get Cher's contact information if you need anything in and around Nashville, Tennessee, or information about how you could better serve your first-time buyers. Or frankly, if you want to know how to get involved in volunteer leadership, Cher or I can help you get pushed in the right direction. Hit me at Lee Brown on Twitter if you'd like to be featured in a future episode. And until then, we'll see you next time. If you are listening to this episode and you need to tell us something about your crazy life in or around real estate, then tweet me at Lee Brown or reach me on any of the social networks. That's if you're a broker, realtor, investor, inspector, lender, or just a regular normal human being who happens to have dealt in real estate. Subscribe for more episodes, and as always, we are thrilled that you joined us for some crazy shit in real estate. See you next time.